This episode is brought to you by our friends at Hostpapa. Hostpapa's powerful website solutions and cloud-based productivity tools are perfect for small business owners. Go to hostpapa.com/morning today and use our exclusive promo code MORNING to save 15% off their popular shared web hosting packages. That's hostpapa.com/morning. Coming up on TMS, Trek thoughts.
What is the green stuff?
I really hope they find out. Kirk has cash.
State Department Pokemon.
Famous ranch burned down.
Lohan has the lowdown.
Major spoilers.
V for video games and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Well, sir, you know the computer is a highly complicated machine, more complicated in many ways than the human brain.
It's not human intelligence we're facing!
The Morning Stream.
Dogs have brains? Because I'd like seriously wanted to know. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream for Monday the 26th, is it? 5th? 5th?
25th.
Yesterday was...
Don't get ahead of yourself.
Yesterday was Utah's statehood day or whatever it is.
Utah Day, yeah, where you do fireworks again.
Pioneer Day. Yeah, it's like 4th of July all over again here.
Right.
And because it's on a Sunday, it's a lot more subdued. So what they do is they save it for Monday. So today it's going to get real hairy all up in here. Fireworks, dog barking, me not caring at all about any of it.
Right. Why do they have to do that?
Yeah, I don't
really
care. I really don't care. I mean, show some pride in your state.
Yeah, of course.
All that stuff's fine, but I'm not interested in doing the 4th twice.
Today on this day, the beehive was invented.
Well, we are the beehive state. But importantly, or more importantly, I don't understand the need to do... Like, we're a state that is already severely restricted on fireworks. Like, our laws are hardcore because there's serious fire risks. You said fire to the canyon, boom, the whole mountain comes down.
Right.
Like nobody
needs
wants to be.
Needs to be that protected. Yeah.
Exactly. It's bad. And so, yet we're a state that has two holidays in the same month where it's all about fireworks. And everybody goes up to like Wyoming and brings home all the illegal stuff and fires them off anyway in places that are totally, you know, it's the hottest summer on record worldwide. We're definitely not an exception here. Everything's turning brown real quick. It's 100 and something degrees today. Like, it's hot.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think I'll go set these firecrackers off in that nice brown field.
Exactly. And hey. all it takes is like a little, you know, somebody throws a... I think you could throw one of those snaps in there and possibly cause a problem.
Oh, God. Yeah, probably.
So anyway, we're here doing a show while we think about the apocalypse that will come tonight. Hey, everybody. Hope you had a good weekend. I know I did because I saw Star Trek Beyond and... I know that there's some divisiveness going on. I'm a little surprised by it because friends of mine who I thought were true.
I've always heard it pronounced divisive. Is it divisive?
I've always said division, divisive. Divisive works too. I say that too.
Okay.
Divisive.
I don't care. I'm not, you know.
You give zero Fs, as the kids say.
I guess I don't give a shit.
Yeah. And by the way, can I just say something to a Twitter follower real quick here?
Sure.
If your avatar is literally a picture of you and giant... text in the impact font that says I give zero F's, you shouldn't be calling me out on things I say on Twitter, because then your avatar is a lie.
Contradicting your very presence on Twitter.
Yeah. If you give zero F's, then you shouldn't have any complaints. All right, buddy? Anyway, here's the deal. Saw Star Trek Beyond. Have had a wonderful time.
Yeah.
Enjoyed the hell out of it. Yeah, I really liked it. And here's why I liked it, and I have a theory, okay? Here's why I liked it.
Okay.
I liked it because two things. One, they did not seem to be afraid to do a story nobody was familiar with that didn't have some tie to some fan service thing like Connor.
There was no search for Spock.
No, there was no rebooting of something that's already come before. There was no, remember this? There was none of that, which I don't like about the first two very much. There was no time travel, which I really appreciate. No.
There was a little tiny, not time travel, but there was, you know, without giving anything away, there was a tie to the original series.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, there's a bit of one. But not one that matters that much or that is that overt or anything like that.
Right, right, right. No, of
course. And if anything, the part I think you're talking about was handled very eloquently, and I like that a lot.
So, it was, yeah.
Did you think it was cheeseball? What'd you think?
I felt like it was a little cheeseball. I think it was unnecessary, and it maybe opens up more questions, or not questions, but yeah. I'm not saying anything more. But
yeah,
I'm just
too
saying
easy to get that
I felt
part
like
away.
It was unnecessary.
I liked that it reminded everybody that, yo, different timeline, folks.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but yeah, outside of that. Mm-hmm. Super strong, a story that reminded me like an old TOS story, like a just a weird like what's going on here, and also the first movie in a long time where they ask some big questions. Like that's what Star Trek does best, is ask big questions about humanity, about race, about discrimination, about what it means to be happy, what it means to what is home, what is revenge, what these questions are Star Trek questions, and they've always been around. In Star Trek, it's one of the great hallmarks of the series, and this movie had questions like that, which they haven't done in a long time. Usually, it's just real surface-level popcorn business, and I felt like it got a little deeper that way. Third thing I really liked, this new character, Jayla, is rad.
Totally.
She's my favorite new Star Trek character, and I can't tell you how long. I freaking love her. She is amazing, and they better keep her on, because she's great. And I loved it. I just had a really good time. But I've got a theory about why there's some division amongst the fan base. So I was talking to my buddy Eric Van Skyhawk yesterday. He is adamantly disliking the film. Hates it.
Wow.
Thinks it's terrible. Talked to a few other people who really didn't like it. Wish I could share your enthusiasm, but I really didn't like it, this, that, and the other. Okay. And I think I figured out what the deal is. Because in every single one of those cases, these are people that said to me, I loved the first two, the reboot in 09 and Into Darkness. I loved those, and I hated this one. Mm. And everyone else I've talked to that really liked this new one, liked 2009, thought it was pretty good. Let's see where this goes. And we're disappointed a little bit in Into Darkness.
That's about where I'm at.
That is exactly where I'm at. Exactly where I'm at. So my theory, if I'm correct, is if you liked those other two, you're not going to like the new one, generally speaking. And if you like this new one, you were probably pretty lukewarm on the other two, especially the last one.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the first one. Yeah. I mean, I think their casting is just fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, can't beat who they have on this thing.
Nails it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spoil anything, but I can't wait to talk about what my favorite line was from the movie. Mm-mm. And it was just a throwaway line, but it was so damn funny.
Oh, I'm trying to, now I'm racking my brain.
Yeah, it's.
I can't think of what it was.
Yeah,
Who said it? Just give me a hint. Who said it?
Kirk says it. Kirk says it in the very beginning narration.
Oh, I know which one.
Yeah.
Yep. His captain's log bit. Yeah, right. He shows his captain's log, everybody. It's real good. I loved it. And I hope if you're hearing me and you're thinking, oh, well, I also was a little disappointed by the last one and liked 09, but, felt like it was the start of something that could be cool. I think you're going to really like this. If you adored those first two movies, especially the second one, if you thought Into Darkness was the bomb, you may not like this one.
Right. And I'm looking forward to the next one because obviously it seems like Jayla's joining the crew.
Yeah, I hope so.
Or at least going to the academy, and who knows, but... Mm-hmm.
She's awesome. Love it. Gosh dang it, she's cool. What does she remind me of? She reminded me of she's like a Star Wars character in a lot of ways.
Yeah, right.
But just, I don't know, something about her sensibility, the way she talked. I glommed onto that character and the whole time just thought she was rad. So
yeah, and we get just enough of a glimpse of her backstory to make her interesting, but not enough to where we don't feel like it can be fleshed out in a later show.
Exactly. So next time they want to time travel, which sounds like the next one they might a little bit. I don't know what they're going to do next time. All we know is Chris Hemsworth's in the next one. Well, gee, I wonder what that means.
Right. But wait, how could Chris Hemsworth be in there? Unless there's maybe some time travel.
Some George Kirk tomfoolery going on.
Right.
Anyway, so there was that, and it was great. there's a problem in Utah, and I need to tell you about it, and you can try to take me down from my scared tree that I'm in, okay? An enormous green blob has bubbled out of the storm drains in Utah. Residents of Bluffdale, Utah, and they're like, I don't know, pretty close to me.
Bluffdale.
That's the name of the place.
That's not a real place.
That's a real name of
You're
a real place.
You're making that name up.
It's a real name. It sounds like a stripper guy, doesn't it? A little bit? Bluffdale?
Bluffdale.
Yeah. Anyway.
No, it just sounds like... The name of a city they'd make up on The Simpsons or something. Well, they love the monorail over in Bluffdale.
That's right, I said monorail. And, it's a good point. It's kind of a dumb sounding city, I agree. But anyway, it's like a little suburb. And this place, these residents in Bluffdale received quite a shock yesterday when an enormous, this is 2 days ago now, an enormous blob of pale green foam sprung forth seemingly out of nowhere from a roadside irrigation gate. So big, bubbly, blah, 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 looking thing. There's a photo there if you want to click that link.
Yeah. You know what it looks like? It looks like when you make shepherd's pie and you put the mashed potatoes on the top of the shepherd's pie and then you put it back in the oven and just kind of the peaks of the mashed potatoes get brown.
Oh, right.
If you then applied a green filter to the whole thing, that's what it looks like.
Hey, now maybe we've gotten to the bottom of this mystery already.
It's a shepherd's pie. Basically, they're making a shepherd's pie down below in the sewers.
Down in Bluffdale, the Bluffdale sewers.
The Bluffdale sewers. That's weird looking.
Yeah, isn't that weird? The road was quickly closed off by the city as Salt Lake County Health Department officials were called out to investigate. Initially, residents were concerned that the foaming might be the result of some sort of toxic algae. Not a crazy hypothesis, given the enormous shit-fueled algae blooms currently underway in nearby Utah Lake. So, there's something weird going on. It's something to do with the heat, the abnormal summer heat, and the extra sun, I guess, and just the hot summer in general. They have closed Utah Lake, which is a fairly sizable lake, because of these toxic algae blooms that are making people sick as dogs and some people critically ill. Real bad. And then this lake by me, you know, the lake right over here by me?
Yeah.
They won't let you go in there now either. Nobody can do the canoes or the freaking standing board things, and I can't let the dog drink it. Like, it's all, there's something up, like some kind of weird algae growth that only flourishes when it's 100 degrees for like a long time and things are weird. And so climately speaking, it's like making this weird change, so this stuff's happening. So that's still not known what's going on.
Yet Mendoza can just still swim around free in there.
Yep, there he is. And before we know, he's going to have two beaks and three eyes, and he's gonna right. kill me.
So has anybody tasted this thing?
I don't think so.
They totally need to do that.
That's how cavemen used to try to find out what was going
on. Exactly, right? Yeah. Oh, that's weird looking. Is it food?
Oh, Bill died. All right. Well, not food. Write that one down on the cave.
Check mark.
Not food. Love you, Bill. See you later, buddy. anyway, so that's the deal with that. You have someone to thank.
I do. I want to thank Luke and his family. So Luke was visiting from Texas. You may remember Luke from amazing barbecue photos that he sent us.
Oh yeah, I do remember that. How could you forget that? You can't forget that.
No, that's something you just can't unsee, and your mouth waters whenever you think of it. But so he was in town, and normally if somebody comes into town and it works out timing wise and it's not a busy, time for Tina and I, we'll arrange to meet somebody at a restaurant or grab a coffee or grab a drink with them or something like that. Sure. And doesn't work every time, people. If you're coming through Denver, it doesn't, I'm not going to take you to Casa Bonita every time you come to town. All right.
Yeah. I get the same thing, by the way. And if I'm swamped, and it always seems like bad timing. Someone will say, hey, we're in town on Thursday. I'm like, oh, the day I have completely scheduled out.
Right. Oh, hey, things do that day. Thanks. Great. Yeah. Well done.
I guess I won't see you. But anyway.
So he came to town and he said, hey, I'd really like to cook you and the family some barbecue. And, normally be like, we like to keep it nice and on the, meet in a neutral place.
Yeah.
Where, but for him, it was like, oh, okay, we can't say no to good barbecue.
Right.
So we went up to his parents' house. He was staying with his parents, he and his wife and his kids, staying with his parents up in North Boulder, very north of Boulder, actually, way out there, in beautiful, beautiful part of the Boulder Valley, and it's just this gorgeous view and surroundings and stuff. Sounds and nice. We had some fantastic barbecue and had some great times talking with his family, who admittedly were very weirded out that they were getting their home was going to be invaded by a podcaster and his wife, somebody that nobody in that household had ever met personally face to face, but was showing up to eat their food and sit at their table.
Yeah, you were talking a second ago about neutral location and all that. It's on you now. You're the weird one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we and they, you know, they say, you know, I hope you appreciate. So you think this is weird too, I think was the way they phrased it. You think this is weird too, just coming over to somebody's house? And I said, oh yeah, totally. And we joked. I said, yeah, but if it was Ira Glass, you probably wouldn't have a problem with it, would you? And they're like, no, no, no.
Yeah. Wait, who's Ira Glass?
Oh no, they're
big NPR heads.
They're big NPR fans. And yeah. But we had a great time, sat there and chatted for a long time and had some, like you said, some delicious food, some great cake, and of course barbecue at pork tenderloin. It was a great time. So
you should have said act two.
Dessert. Act two, we're bringing out a chocolate cake. Michael Jones is going to interview the inventor of the chocolate cake, talk about why chocolate cake is prevalent today. Three,
chocolate cake is great, as Bill Cosby would say.
Act three, we find out the cake is a lie.
All right. Well, I love this idea. I love that you did it. And farewell, Texas folks. May Luke and his family ever be barbecue people.
Ever be barbecuing.
Always be barbecuing. All right. We're going to play a game. This is what we do every day. We have a little trivia game. It's a chance for people to win stuff. Did we give away our stuff last week? I think we did.
I think we did. And I do have a thing to give away today. Did we give away? No, we're adding this. Okay. We did not give away Samurost 2.
Oh, we didn't give that away?
No, and I have a thing to add to it that is actually tied to today's question. So
all right.
It's going to be a magical, magical day for somebody.
I'm going to pull this over. Oh, there it is. You already did.
I already did.
Look at that. Okay, that looks good. Number is 801-895-4724. That's the number. You call it. We answer it. We bring you in. We fill you in on what's going on, and then we let Daryl try to wrestle with it. Let's see who this very first caller is. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hello.
Hello.
This is Matthew from Chicago.
Well, hello, Matthew from Chicago. How is the Windy City, the shoulders of America, the slaughter capital of the world? What else is going on? How's it going?
It is hot here.
Yeah.
Not quite as hot as Utah, but...
Hot enough. You guys have a lot of humidity and stuff. You got all that lake humidity, and that's worse. So.
Matthew, is your last name by chance a military rank?
It is perhaps a military rank.
Yeah, okay. You're the Matthew that we hung out with and walked through the greatest parts of Chicago earlier this month.
Oh, well, very nice.
Yep.
Yes, and a very talented artist.
Hold on. Now you got me curious. General? Colonel?
Keep going. Keep going.
Private?
Keep going.
Corporal?
Keep going.
High Templar?
This could take forever.
I don't know.
High Sparrow? What?
I said High Templar, but I can't think of anything. What is it?
Sergeant. Matthew Sergeant.
Oh, Sergeant. Gosh dang it. I should have known that. You should have said something like, I don't know, Lee Ermey related, and everything would have been
fine. Lee Ermey. Oh, yeah, right. I didn't know they stacked shit that high.
So we've got a chance now for you there, Matthew, who also has a military rank for a last name. You're going to get to answer today's or help answer today's question that we give Daryl. Brian's going to explain the rules and the topic. Brian, go.
All right, Matthew Petty Officer. We are going to be asking Daryl a trivia question here in just a moment. What we want you to do, though, is to predict accurately, I might add, whether or not you think Daryl is going to get said trivia question correct or incorrect. If your prediction is correct, today you have a chance to win a leftover prize from last week, a copy of Samurost 2 from Steam, plus a copy of the brand new album from the band Garbage, which is called Strange Little Birds, even though I typed it in our notes as Strangle Little Birds, which is a much darker album.
You shouldn't do that.
Shouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. And you'll get a download code to download a copy, a digital copy of that album, courtesy of Iceworm himself.
Whoa. That's nice. He wrote the question, and it's not a conflict of interest, right? He can do that.
Sure he can. Of course he can, yeah.
All right. So what's his topic?
His topic, oddly enough, is the band Garbage.
Oh, the band Garbage. Hmm.
So if you're a fan of the band Garbage, you might be able to help Daryl with this question, and you might already have this album or not. I don't know.
Yeah. So what do you think? Daryl's going to get it right? Daryl's going to get wrong. What do you think?
Trying to remember what Daryl has said about Garbage. I know almost nothing about Garbage.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say Daryl's going to get it right.
Okay. Yeah, right. The only thing I know about Garbage for real, for sure, 100% know about Garbage, mm-hmm. is that they're only happy when it rains.
This is true. Yeah.
That's all I know.
She's only happy when it's complicated.
Yeah, that's her deal. Mm-hmm. She's lovely and good for her. All right.
She is.
So let's see how it goes. Wait, did you say yes or no? I can't remember now.
He said yes. Okay. He said Daryl's going to get it right.
All right. Let's dive into the Daryl then and see what Daryl has to say. Daryl was one of the people stirring up trouble on Star Trek yesterday.
Well, all over the weekend, right? I mean, yeah. I remember seeing stuff about it Saturday too.
Yeah. Ironically, I think he actually really liked it, but he's he's Daryl.
Speaking of, by the way, went to Star Wars night at the Colorado Rockies game on Saturday night. That was a blast.
Yeah. What do they do for you there? What do you get?
A lot of people dressing up. You know, the 501st was there. Mm-hmm. All the stormtroopers running around, and a lot of people in costume. And then they replaced all of the players' photos that you see on the Jumbotron with Star Wars characters with the player's head superimposed over the character's head.
Awesome. So it'd be like Han Solo with the player's face or whatever.
Right, exactly. So it's like Han Solo with the player's face or C-3PO with the player's face.
I think that's
great.
I like that better than that fourth be with you day. I'd rather people celebrate that way. That's much cooler. Yeah. All right. We got Daryl coming in. That means we got this little deal here.
Yeehaw, I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
The long one again. Keep forgetting to fix that.
Instead to mix.
I know you like them both. So.
I do like this one a lot.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's Stump Daryl time, and it's brought to you by...
By Hey TMS listeners, are you interested in some San Diego Comic Convention coverage? Well, the Comic Source podcast has all you need, including creator interviews, in-depth comics coverage, and all sorts of other stuff. Check us out at thecomicsourceblog.com or follow us at The Comic Source on Twitter and Instagram. Love the show, bros.
Nice. Thank you so much,
Daryl. We love you too.
Daryl, are you there?
I think so.
Let's quickly, briefly, get the hot take from Daryl on what he thought of Beyond. I had a lot of back and forth with Daryl yesterday, as I did many people. Mm-hmm. As always, your opinion when it comes to the films is they rely a little bit too much on action and fighting and a little less on, like, in-depth storytelling, which I can't disagree with, but I just always look at it in the context of this is the movies and that's the TV show and they're never going to be the same. Like, the only successful Trek movies are the ones that were the most action-packed because you're trying to reach the most audience and have the most fun for 2 hours. And it's just kind of the nature of the beast. So given that truth, it's always easier for me to accept these for what they are. And so when they do venture out in more interesting story territory, I give them credit for that, even though it's still kind of a big action-packed, you know, it's more Star Wars than Star Trek in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. All that being said, now that you've had a few days to stew on it, how does Daryl, the Trek nerd, feel about Star Trek Beyond?
What a great buildup!
Yeah,
it was okay, I guess. No, actually, it was the best of the three new ones by far, by a long way.
Best of the three new ones, absolutely. Yeah. I would agree with that. And I don't. Well, whatever. People can think what they want to think, and everyone's got their opinion. And I'm obviously being subjective here, but I really, really liked it, and I hope they keep making cool stories like this that aren't just rehashes of other stories.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm so glad it wasn't a rehash. The only thing wrong with it is they treat the view screen like it's a window, and I hate that.
The view. Oh, right, yeah.
Oh, the what now? The view screen.
View screen.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because they dove out of that thing.
You can just roll down. There's a window. There's like a little knob. Roll down the view screen or the bridge window and... climb out there and hang out.
I love the idea that that's a thing you picked out. I didn't even think about it. But that's a good thing to pick out. All right. Oh, and also,
do you not like it because it just kind of makes an easy point for people to shoot?
Well, there's that. Yeah. But it's you wouldn't see anything if it was just a window. You have to have huge amounts of magnification because you're going faster than light. You need to be able to see way out there.
Yeah. Well, plus it also from where it's placed means you can't look down. Like your bottom view would be completely cut off because of the rest of the saucer section.
Yeah. Right. The other point to make about that, and I'll agree on this point, is that if it's so weak that it only takes two phaser shots to bust it, that makes me feel real uncomfortable being on the bridge moving it, you know, warp 10 with a lot of space debris and other bullshit flying around. Like, I don't have a problem with assuming that it's both a screen and a transparent, divider. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with that. Because jumping back and forth, that's a technology thing. I can totally buy into that. What I can't buy into is that flimsy. Like two phaser shots. Yeah. That's OSHA would not approve that freaking.
They haven't
window.
Put their screen protector on there yet.
No,
like, you know, it was fresh out of the shop, and
they need Gorilla Glass or something.
Right.
Anyway, well, good. Well, Daryl, on the phone with us is Matthew. He's from Chicago. His last name is Sergeant. He's hoping to be a colonel one day.
I know that guy.
Yeah, you know that guy.
And, yeah, we played games at the last Nerdtacular.
Oh, fantastic! Utterly fantastic. Well, then you'll feel good about who your little helper is, because he's here to help you today. In your trivia question, would you like to know what your topic is?
No. Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess so.
Garbage. The band Garbage. Not what you said was garbage. It wasn't a statement. It wasn't a judgment. It was just the name. We all know Brian and Mike love themselves some garbage. The band, not actual garbage, says Mike. They put out their first album in 1995. What was the first music video they released to accompany this album? Here are your options. There are four of them. A, Vow. B, Queer. C, Stupid Girl. Or D, Only Happy When It Rains. All right. The only song you probably know, Daryl, is that one. I don't know. I don't know what
you're... Did they do that one?
Yeah, that's them.
Yeah. That's one of their songs. All four of those are songs... by the band Garbage.
From that album, in fact. So they're all garbage songs. They're all from that album. One of them, though, was the debut video. And your whole job here is to figure out which one. So Vow, Queer, Stupid Girl, or Only Happy When It Rains. What do you think?
I have not even the slightest clue. Mm. So what does Matthew think?
Yeah, what do you think, Matt?
I have only heard of one of those, so I guess I would be thinking that it's D.
D? Only Happy When It Rains?
Yeah.
Not how it rains or how much it rains or where it rains. I'm only happy where it rains. All right, so Daryl, he says he thinks D, but I think he's in the boat you're in, which is who knows.
Yeah. I'm going to say it's not that, just because it's the one everyone knows.
All right. Mm-hmm.
And I really like... that's not what I mean. I'm not... Okay, now I'm digging a hole if I say that I think it's number 3.
Yeah. Or C, you mean?
Yeah.
When you say number 3, you mean C? Okay.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to... You feel like if you say I like Stupid Girl, then somebody's going to isolate that out and...
And then make a nice, sweet little bumper we can play on the show. Is that what you're saying?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so you think it's Stupid Girl,
and a married one, too, but she's not listening.
Hey-o!
Now I'm in a hole. There we go.
Snuck that one in. The
gloves come off. Yeah. All right.
I can respect that. It's totally fine.
The fun of divorce.
Yeah. It's a good time. Do you like C then? Are you sticking with C?
Oh, sure. That's it, I guess.
Let's find out if it's C. Is it C?
Boy, didn't we just tell you not to do that?
It is not C, and that means...
So you get nothing! You lose!
We love you, though, Matt. See you, buddy. Yeah. He does not win Samaras 2 or the garbage Strangle Little Birds.
Strange. I'll edit that. I'll fix it right now.
Hey, that's not as bad as the top of the show, where you very deftly read over it, but I put V for videos game.
Videos game.
You're really good at those things. All right, so Daryl, you blew it there for him. That's fine, because we still like having you on and talking and all that kind of stuff.
So what was the real answer?
Oh, sorry, I'll tell you now. It's A, Vow is the correct answer.
Okay.
It was their
so
first.
So we were both wrong.
Yeah, you were both wrong. First music video released from their debut self-titled album. Here's a clip of Shirley telling somebody they will F them up for spitting on her at a show from Bleed Me Like a Tour. Or Bleed Like Me Tour. Bleed Me Like a Tour. she gets angry. You won't like Shirley when she's angry. All right, so I guess this is a thing. I'm going to play this. I hope it's beeped. Because, you know, we're a family show, sort of.
What I'm going to happen to you, because first of all, I'm going to ask the crowd to tell me who's spitting on me. What normally happens is they clean off and leave you by yourself. And then I get all these men, including my own f***ing crew, to come find you, take you outside.
Wow. I like her accent.
Yeah.
Man, that's a cool accent. Listen, if you guys want to know, all right, let's say, Brian, here's a scenario.
Sure.
World comes to an end, and the only people left on Earth are me and five women, and it's our job to repopulate this planet.
Girls?
I hope not, no. But our whole job is to repopulate the planet.
Right.
If you give me five women... Whichever one has the Scottish accent is pretty much the deal. That's the way it's going.
Sure, yeah.
I love that accent, man.
No, I'm with you.
Can't get enough of it. All right, Daryl, well done. You're the Trek nerd on Twitter. You can find him right there. He's talking all about Star Trek, smacking back and forth with people and stuff and whatnot. You were baiting people a little bit yesterday, you got to admit. Just a little baiting.
People seem to think that I just only have bad things to say about it. Yeah. So I kind of satisfied them.
Yeah, you rolled with it. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah.
It's Eric who really needs the therapy. He needs someone to talk to. I do not understand where he's at with this. But anyway, you're the Trek nerd there on Twitter, so people can follow him there. You can also find him at This Week in Trek, thisweekintrek.com, and the Grumpy Cast. And now he'll play a game with us called Googleus Maximus, and it has its own theme.
I know. I Googled it.
All right. What's up? Give it.
Okay, I'm going to read a part of a query that I've entered into Google. You complete the phrase and win nothing.
All right.
My blank exploded.
My blank exploded.
Exploded. My butt.
So how do you put that in Google? You go my
you do
and then underscore.
My and then underscore and then exploded and it'll.
All right.
I'm not so sure that it works that way, but because I tried it.
It worked the other day when I was doing the when you had the. The Google search that began with an underscore or began with a blank term.
Yeah, and I've done it
but
since.
I think it would have filled it in anyway, even without the underscore.
Oh, yeah. Really? Oh, maybe. Well, whatever. I'm going to say...
But I tried it.
I'm going to say my computer exploded. That seems like a thing somebody might type. Although, if their computer exploded, how are they typing it? Maybe they're doing it with their phone. I don't know. But I'd say yes, my computer exploded is my answer.
What'd you say, Brian?
I said butt.
Oh, you already said butt.
I said butt.
My butt exploded.
my answer is butt, Scott.
My butt exploded. What happened? My butt exploded.
In the butt, Bob.
All right, so there's your
greatest
answers.
Urban legend ever.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Butt and computer.
And the number one actual answer is my ovaries exploded.
Ugh. Ovaries exploded. Interesting.
They can explode? Is that real?
I don't know. I never had any.
I hope they had. Well, yeah, I've never had an ovary either.
My sister. Burrito, ovaries, burrito, iPhone, and computer.
Oh, computer's in there.
Computer's in there.
And then the last one I have show is my pen exploded in the dryer.
Yes, exactly.
I've had that happen before. It's a bad scene when your pen explodes in the dryer. I don't understand the ovaries thing. I need to learn more about that. Hold on. I'm going to click this.
My ovaries.
Okay, Urban Dictionary. My ovaries just exploded. Oh boy.
Oh, so when it's like when a woman sees a cute baby or something, right?
Oh yeah. They see a baby. Oh, and go, my ovaries. Yeah. Okay, so it's not a real thing. It's just a thing dumb people say.
Mm-hmm.
Why do people say my ovaries just exploded? Let's find out. Yahoo Answers. It says I always see this. I always see pictures of Harry Styles and Justin Bieber, and the caption, "My ovaries exploded." What does this mean? It means they think that they look really hot and they can't contain how hot they are. Okay.
What?
This is you know what? Yahoo Answers is terrible.
Oh, really is terrible.
Who's buying them today? There's a rumor that someone's buying Yahoo today. Who was it? Verizon. I think it's Verizon's buying them. I think Verizon's buying Yahoo today.
Yeah.
What's buying someone?
Today, what? What, did I sound like that when I did that just now?
No, no, that's my Marissa Meyer impersonation.
Oh.
That's the noise she makes when somebody offers to buy Yahoo.
Only when they offer to buy it, she gets all giggly that.
Exactly, okay. Yeah.
We need to find it. I'll find it because it's the best.
Find it because, yeah, there might be people who don't know what the hell.
It's like Mark's Brian's losing his mind.
Something's just recently happened to Brian.
That's not it. No. No. Right, this is it.
Yep, that was
it. That's it.
Oh, my gosh. She has got the weirdest laugh. Yeah, but the what?
If I met someone like that, I would just run away.
You just take off.
Yeah.
Oh, I would pay money.
Yeah, good luck with that.
So Verizon's buying them, I think, is the deal.
Okay. Yeah.
So Yahoo, good luck with Yahoo Answers, guys. that's a terrible part of that deal, Daryl. That's it. Get the hell out of here.
Go
away. All right, bye. See ya.
Yeah.
Bye. All right, there goes Daryl. Into the ether. And here's this.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Today's news brought to you by.
This week on All Roads Tavern, the final installment of Star Swing. Tensions are high as the crew has to fight their way through mafia hitman Groucho Romanov. Groucho Romanov, I like that. Corrupt detective Trenton Vega and themselves. Will anyone make it out on top, or are they doomed to bring each other down? Find this tale and more at lithmage.com. That's LITHMAGE .com.
Star Trek Beyond numbers nearly tripled Lights Out, Ice Age, Collision Course.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Nearly tripling the grosses of its fellow new wide releases. Star Trek Beyond earned
I know what Lights Out is.
I don't either now that you're saying that. We're going to look at this. Okay. Well, let's see. Estimated $59.6 million on 3,928 screens over its opening weekend, the lowest debut for a franchise film since Star Trek Nemesis flopped with 18.5, so it's actually lower than they were hoping. The Justin Lin-directed film also looks ahead to a healthy run with critical reviews at 84% on Rotten Tomatoes and audiences A- grade on CinemaScore. Support driving it forward as previous titles in the rebooted series dropped over 50% from week to week. So they think that'll do better than they did week to week.
Gotcha.
I think so, too. There's good word of mouth most of us, unless you listen to Eric Van Skyhawk.
Don't listen to the words coming out of his mouth.
No.
Lights Out is a horror movie.
Oh, right.
Horror movie.
Horror, which typically do pretty well. So I don't know. Maybe that one didn't do. Maybe it wasn't very good or something.
Mm-hmm. No, it's getting 77 on Rotten Tomatoes.
All right.
On the tomatoes.
Rotten tomatoes.
It's getting 77 on the tomatoes.
Don't eat too many tomatoes. They give you the cancer. Paramount also reports 14% of the film's opening weekend gross was earned from 387 IMAX locations for a global IMAX haul of $11.6 million. That's pretty high. And an overseas franchise record for the format. Overall, foreign grosses for Star Trek Beyond stand at approximately $30 million. Expected to grow and do well. So I'm glad to hear that. I think Justin Lin did a great job, and I still say it's weird that a director goes back-to-back movies where one of his stars died, either during or after they wrapped, which is just so weird. And that was a nice little tribute at the end. It said
it was
in the to the memory of Leonard Nimoy, and at the end it said for Anton.
Yeah, and it was people stopped. There were people leaving the theater when that went up, and everybody just stopped, and it was just silent for.
Yeah, it's sad, man.
Some seconds is well handled.
He was
Lights
good.
Out. I never even heard of it. And I'm looking at what's coming up this week. Jason Bourne is in theaters.
What are they trying to do to my wallet right now?
Drain it.
Yeah.
The new Emma Roberts, Dave Franco film Nerve, about the online game where you got to do all your things and get money.
Oh, Julia Roberts' daughter.
Julia Roberts. Yeah, let's say Julia Roberts and not Eric Roberts. Niece, isn't it? It's Eric Roberts' daughter.
Oh, you're right, you're right, you're right, you're right, you're right, you're right. She's very lovely.
She is.
Yeah, lovely.
I don't know. You got to at some point you have to go home and meet dad, and I think that's the that's where it all goes south.
So you want to date my daughter, I hear. And the funny thing is I like him in certain, like I really liked him in Batman.
Batman. Yeah. And,
other stuff. He's been in good things. He was he was good in Heroes, as much as that show maddened me. Mm-hmm. He was good in it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, well, good for them. I mean, I saw trailers for that, and I thought that looked interesting. At least it looks like it's not really aimed at my demographic, but I don't know. It's, you know, weird hackery stuff. I'm kind of into that. Jason Bourne, though, that's going to be your one to beat.
That's
going to
be the biggie. Yeah, Bad Moms, Into the Forest, Indignation, Equity, Gleason, which is right now toting 100% Rotten Tomatoes rating.
Is that a Jackie Gleason docudrama thing?
No, it is.
To the Moon. No,
it's a war film. I think I'm trying to find notes on it.
I'm gonna assume you said Worf film.
Worf. It's a Worf film. Great. Yeah, here we go. Oh no, not a war film. It's the New Orleans Saints defensive back that got ALS.
Oh,
it's a docudrama or a documentary about that.
Oh, okay, I'd see that.
Yep.
I like documentaries about that stuff.
So there you go. That's what's hitting theaters this week. Tonight, by the way, if you fly to if you got a theater near you that does those one night only things, you can go see Batman: The Killing Joke.
Oh, the cartoon, the animated thing.
The animated deal, yeah.
I'm hearing good things
it's
about
that. One of those one night only things. I've been hearing good things about that too.
Yeah. I think DC kills it with their animation's amazing.
Yeah.
Wish their movies are as good. And hopefully, we'll talk to Steven today, but there looks like there might be a couple coming that might be okay. Maybe. What else here? A reporter has been busted playing Pokemon Go during the State Department briefing.
This is great.
It is pretty great. U.S. State Department spokesman John Kirby was, after he ate somebody to get their powers, was trying to talk to the press earlier today.
He just inhaled them. He didn't eat them.
About the efforts to come, and then his hat changed, which I thought was really weird. Efforts to combat ISIS, but one reporter had more important things to do. CNN reports that the unidentified culprit was busted by Kirby mid-talk, interrupting his terrorism briefing by saying, "You're playing the Pokemon thing aren't you?
Let's play the audio.
I'm going to play the audio. Here it is. Here's the entire, not the entire conversation, but most of the conversation. Here you go.
Working Group renewed its commitment to launching innovative international campaigns and expanding regional and global networks and accelerating global efforts to confront them in the information space. As the Secretary said earlier today, though, and I think it's an important reminder, you're playing the Pokemon thing right there, aren't you?
Just give me a minute.
It's an important reminder. We know this won't be easy. We recognize it's a challenge, and we're clear-eyed about the work we still have to do. This is why we convene this important ministerial, and we'll continue to work with our coalition partners to defeat Daesh. Did you get one?
No, the signal's not very good.
Sorry about that.
Sorry about that. And the entire time, I gotta give it to this dude. He has got this look on his face that's like, you're a turd. Why are you doing that in here?
Exactly, yeah.
But at the same time, he's like, whatever. I don't know. There's something about his response that I really
like. It absolutely felt like it could have been a scene from Veep this season.
Yeah, it totally did. It totally did.
Mike is in the audience playing Pokemon or something. Or
that's pretty good. That guy's great.
Jonah.
Now, in related news, Sir David Attenborough narrates somebody playing Pokemon Go.
Okay.
Now, this is obviously just an edit, but it's pretty great. I'm going to play. Let's see, chat room. I can show you this video here. Let me scooch this over.
I'm going to pull a video up myself.
Scooch this over just a tad. Let's put it right there. Okay. So I'm going to play this video. Whoops, this isn't it. There it is. I'm going to play this video for you, and you will hear for yourself what it would be like for Sir David Attenborough, of so much documentary nature fame, narrating Pokemon Go. Here you go.
Hunting animals need hunting grounds, and that inevitably brings them in conflict with humanity.
It is, of course, a bird, a red-tailed hawk. Until human beings devised weapons for themselves, this was the most powerful killer on Earth. Few creatures could escape it. Nothing could threaten it. But that has now changed.
A single hunter would be very unlikely to tackle a healthy adult. It simply wouldn't have the weight and sheer strength needed to bring one down.
Oh, I freaking love it. I could watch that all day.
Yeah.
He's so great. I just want him to narrate my life.
It is a Pidgey. We see the podcaster exit his bed.
with just enough time to get the show prepared. I love him. He's so great. When he dies, sad day.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Sad day for everybody when Sir David Attenborough dies. His brother already died from Jurassic Park. Mm-hmm. Spared no expense. a famous movie ranch was burned down.
Mm.
This is kind of sad also, although I would actually argue the sadness is the other 17 houses in the area that were burned down.
All right.
But, you know, California is always on fire this time of year. This may be one of the worst years. Popular Hollywood set used for the show 24 and the A-Team is nothing but ash and debris after a 22,000-acre wildfire swept through Southern California. Sable Ranch in Santa Clara, or Clarita. Clarita? Yeah.
Yeah, Santa Clarita.
I almost said another word. I almost said clitoris.
Oh, jeez.
I almost did. And I wasn't meaning to, but it almost
the came patron out. Saint. Oh, never mind. Yeah,
Saint Clitoris. What's the deal? Oh, was destroyed Saturday by the massive blaze. Massive blaze, man. Which was literally blocked out by the sun. Which literally blocked out the sun in much of Los Angeles. Some offices were saved, but the sets were a loss. The back lot's been used for tons of TV shows and movies, including Robin Hood, Men in Tights, and classic westerns like The Bells of Coronado. The fire has also burned down 17 houses in the area. As of Sunday morning, it was only 10% contained. Jeez, that's a big fire.
Yeah.
Someone just put it out. Put out the fire. It's that easy, right? You just put it out?
Just put it out. Yeah, oh yeah. If only they had thought to do that.
Throw a blanket on it?
Monday morning fire quarterbacking is what we're doing.
Yeah, big time.
Well, why don't they just put it out?
Yeah, if it's a fire, just blow on it.
Easiest solution.
Yeah, no problem. All right, final story. Lindsay Lohan in the news. Lohan. Lindsay Lohan or Lohan? How do you go? Where do you say it?
Lindsay Lohan.
Okay, I always say Lohan. I don't know why. Lohan Luke. She says this. Lindsay Lohan. She is accusing her fiance of cheating in a wild Instagram rant. Lindsay Lohan accused her
Insta-rant.
Fiance. Insta-rant, exactly. Has lots of filters. Nice filters for it. Lindsay Lohan accused her fiance of cheating on her with a Russian hooker. Those are her words, not mine. And hinted at being pregnant in a bizarre attention-seeking social media rant. 30-year-old Mean Girls star lashed out at her 23-year-old millionaire Russian beau, Igor Tarbasov. Tarabasov. How would you say Igor's name? Tarabasov.
Tarazabov.
Tarazabov.
Tarabazov.
Tarabazov. Sure.
Tarabasov. Tarabazov. Yeah, I wouldn't say it.
Tiramisu.
Igor. I wouldn't also,
He's a 23-year-old millionaire. I'm guessing he got it from his dad or something.
He should be able to afford changing his first name away from being Igor.
Mm-hmm. I agree. This is on Instagram Saturday night. Fuming, thanks for not coming home tonight. Fame changes people. I guess that's the same at 23. Shitty time. It changes at 26 and 27. She posts along with a photo of his face scribbled out. Her meltdown with the relationship drama deepened later when Lohan posted a video of him partying at a club with famed socialite Dasha Pashkinavikina.
Pashnovika.
Pashkivna. Anyway.
Pashevkina. That's it. Pashevkina.
Pashevkina. There you go. Who was... Who is a fashion designer calling him a cheater and cheater and her a hooker. Wow, thanks, fiance with Russian hooker. First time in my life, bear with me. He cheated on me with hooker, she griped on the social media app. You know, they have unlimited characters there. You don't have to shorten it up there. Anyway, she later, by the way, the word fiance was hashtagged.
Hashtag fiance?
Yep. I'm going to make a bold statement that Lindsay Lohan doesn't understand how hashtags work.
Right. Ooh, fiance is now trending on Twitter.
Yeah, stop it. That's not how they work. Anyway, Lohan later posted the woman's home address. She may as well hashtag all these words. An email, social media with a rant that included a Donald Trump hashtag, although she eventually deleted it. They didn't say what that was. Not long after Lohan inexplicably suggested she was knocked up, tweeting, quote, Lindsay Lohan labor pains trailer. I am pregnant. along with an image from her 2009 movie Labor Pains.
Oh, jeez.
She might be losing it.
I think so. And she was, you know, she was off the radar for such a long time, and now mm-hmm. back to crazy.
Yep. I feel bad.
I like the fact that she says, you know, first time in my life, bear with me. But she spells it B-A-R-E, like naked.
Yeah. Like naked
instead
with
of
me.
B-E-A-R, bear with me.
Yeah. Like she may as well just said beer with me. B-E-A-R.
Right.
Beer with me.
And clearly Russian hooker should be the trending topic.
I am with you on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for, by the way, thanks for making me jump back over to the article to try and figure out how to pronounce those as I'm looking for the notes for today's music.
Oh, good. Perfect. It's my job. My job is complete. We're going to take a very brief break. Oh, you guys, it's a chance to talk to you again about Host Papa. HostPapa.com. Oh, man. I am hearing from business owners, small business owners like yourself. Out there thinking, I'm going to make it on my own. The American dream, or I don't know, the British dream, or wherever you happen to live. And you're thinking, I got to do stuff on the web, but I, you know, at this stage of my company's development, I can't, you know, mortgage my house to do some crazy thing on the internet. Well, I got good news for you. Host Papa's got a plan for you. Oh, yes, they do. Host Papa's complete turnkey solutions are easy for small business owners. Literally has everything your business needs, including lightning fast servers, professional email, automated website backups, cutting edge security. That's good. You want that. And hundreds of cloud-based productivity tools. No limit to how awesome your website can be, where website can be. With HostPapa, super easy to use drag-and-drop website builder. Oh man, how much easier is that? Also, one-click WordPress installer. I use WordPress all the time. I wish I would have known about one-click back when I started it. But now you don't have to be like me. You can be like you. HostPapa is the best web host for small businesses with affordable pricing and award-winning support. That team is available via chat, phone, or email 24/7, 365. And if you need extra help, they'll give you a free, dedicated 30-minute one-on-one training session with one of their experts. No other web host does that. They've got your back. Want to make sure you get up and running as fast as you can. Shared hosting accounts start as low as $395 a month. They'll even throw in a free domain. It's no risk either. 30-day money-back guarantee. Can't beat that. If you already have a site someplace else, they'll even help you move it for free. For free. Did you hear me? For free. If you're a small business owner, visit hostpapa.com/morning and check out what our friends are doing over there. Because they're fans of TMS, they're offering the listeners an exclusive 15% off new shared hosting accounts. Just enter the code morning at checkout for 15% off. That's hostpapa.com/morning and use the code morning. And get 15% off powerful, reliable, and secure website hosting for small business owners. All right, and we're back. And now, hey, Brian, I'm in the mood for some Indie in the Middle.
I've got some for you.
Can you accommodate my desire?
I absolutely can. And, you know, because you like Scotland and Scottish singers, mm-hmm. I've got one for you.
Oh, good.
This is a four-piece electropop band called The Blet Project, B-L-E-T Project. Which is like a bacon-less tomato sandwich with egg in it, I believe.
Oh, weird.
I don't know if that's where it comes from, but they were formed in 2015 by Stephen Dennis, who you'll hear doing backing vocals and playing the synthesizers, creating some great pop songs. Lead singer is a woman named Maisie Hutt.
Mm.
No relation to Jabba.
Oh, I used to love going to the Maisie Hut. They had really good, really good corn dogs. Mm.
Right, but this is great. This is from their brand new album. It is 8 till 10, and you'll find it on their brand new album of the same name. It's the Blet Project and 8 till 10.
Can't get along with you, sitting pondering my prickly ways. say that I never rest. I'm pathologically intense. You got me, I've gained you. Rich and wrinkled too, sitting on a beach with you. I hope we know what's true. Doing everything my way. Well, if you don't, screw you. I just my only lover. I just feel we not know each other. Too much stress around all you. We got so much work to do. We're so tired, fed up through.
Promised us, and I won't sit here and watch Satan steal it. That's the fight. That's the key. That's everything.
I love the media.
The morning stream. Better than dog butt flung poo.
All right, we're back, everybody. Well, that's it's not a very happy Trump.
I love the media.
It's not, I can't take him seriously when he says things like that.
No, not when he's been drinking. Clearly when he's been drinking.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, he just sits there at the bar and goes, I love David. I love Bernie. Uh-huh. I love Hillary.
Hillary. All right. So what are we doing now? I know. It's Schleicher.
It's Bring, oh, yeah, good.
Let's bring,
yeah,
bring him in.
Good. Yeah,
good. I like good. Him a lot. He has a lot to say because there was like the whole Comic-Con thing. Did you feel like you know what? I'm going to ask him this when he comes in.
Well, ask me too. Geez.
Well, I'm going to ask you both, but it feels like it's the thing that Steven needs to hear also. So I'm going to play this whole thing here. Ladies and gentlemen, join us now in welcoming the one, the only, the Steven Schleicher to the program. Hello, Steven.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
That makes me glad to hear that you're good.
I went to bed early last night, slept for about 10 hours. So.
That never happens around here. I got to do that more.
I just was like, you know what? I've got a lot to do, but I'm going to go sleep.
I like that a lot. That sounds great.
I can't tell you the last time I slept for 10 hours. I think.
Most nights it's about 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
And then about once every 3 or 4 weeks, I'm like, you know what? I just need to take some sleep time.
I do.
So no, I did not get to see Star Trek.
Oh, that's too bad.
I was going to go do that last night, but
right
I went to
through
sleep.
It.
Yeah, yeah, slept right through it. Well, I'd be curious about your take on it. I think if I know you, like I think I know you, I think you're going to like it.
We'll see. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I really liked it. So let's dive in. I don't even know. Here's the funny thing about Comic-Con. I don't even know where to freaking start, dude. But I do have a question for you though before you tell us. And this is for you too, Brian. Mm-hmm. Is it me, or did it feel like Comic-Con was way less of a big deal this year? And I don't mean that cool things weren't talked about or that neat stuff didn't come out of it. And actually, I was really glad to see a lot more stuff that was normally in years past would have been exclusive Hall H business, but a lot of people at home got to see it anyway. Like, it seemed like a good, healthy one, but I didn't feel the same, like, weird electrical fever around it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that it was, it seemed somewhat, like, downplayed, even though, like you said, there were a lot of announcements. And the nice thing was that a lot of the stuff that happened in Hall H, not all of it, but most of it went up on the internet immediately after they showed it to fans. So that was kind of a nice thing. But as far as big major announcements, I don't think so.
You think they're just trying to get ahead of the, I mean, people are going to put crappy hokey footage of that stuff out anyway, so they may as well just put it out.
Is that that was the concern after last year, and save for two things, the only two things that have not appeared on the internet yet were the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 footage that they showed and the Spider-Man Homecoming footage that they showed. Those were the only two that haven't gone on the internet. Everything else that was shown in Hall H is all online for people to check out.
Yeah, especially maybe DC. Maybe that's it. DC seemed real happy to let their stuff go.
Yeah.
I think after years passed, I think they needed to get that out quickly to make sure that people didn't let on-site fan reaction maybe cloud or hurt the upcoming projects.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And so, it did seem even the number of trailers we got this year seemed far less than last year. Last year it seemed like we got Deadpool and Force Awakens and you know, all this stuff that just was really hyped for. And, I mean, Wonder Woman's great. Love seeing the trailer for that.
That looks awesome, by the way.
Seeing some Justice League stuff. Mm-hmm. There was, the new Doctor Strange trailer.
Right.
Yeah. But there wasn't a lot.
A lot of it this year was focused on television. And I would say that, if anything, I would say the DC television properties got a lot more attention than maybe anything else at the show, because people were so hyped about how the Flash season ended last year. And we know this is not, you know, spoilers, because this has been announced. The first episode of the next season is called Flashpoint. And if you are familiar with the comic universe, Barry Allen goes back and saves his mom, thus altering the entire DC universe. And what's really cool about this, they did confirm that the Flashpoint effect will affect Green Lantern, DC Legends of Tomorrow, and probably Supergirl as well.
You mean Arrow, but...
Arrow, so yeah. What did I say?
You said Green Lantern.
Oh, Green Lantern.
I'm hoping that Berlanti's
added. We said that there were going to be big changes coming, didn't we?
That's actually what the change is, that Arrow is now Green Lantern.
Yeah. Oh, wow, weird. You grow a mustache, wear like a ring, Robin Hood hat.
And learn how to use bow and arrow. Wow.
So can you, all right, so Barry Allen, I just need to stop here for a second and talk about him. It was never more, okay. So the footage they showed from the Justice League thing looked pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Like, so did some things from Batman v Superman. So, you know, who knows?
Sure. I hear you can talk to fish.
Yeah. And he looks positively badass. Aquaman. Mm-hmm. If you like the nerdy little dumb one of the super friends, then I'm sorry to tell you, this is the hairy badass one from later.
Yeah.
The only thing he's missing here is his arm is intact and there's not a hook there. It's super cool. I think he's really well cast in this role, and I think it's going to be great to see Khal Drogo out there kicking ass and talking to fish. When they showed the Barry Allen bit, I think that I really liked the interaction. I thought funny and interesting, but I still can't stand this idea that there is a very popular TV show with Barry Allen in it, and this is not the same guy. Yeah.
And like over a year ago, head of the DC Entertainment, I forgot her name, she's the president of everything, she kind of addressed this by saying, hey, look, we have a lot of stories to tell, and because we know that a multiverse exists, we can tell these stories in different formats in this multiverse. So yes, you can love Barry Allen on television, and a lot of people really do, but there's also a Barry Allen who exists in the movie universe as well.
Yeah.
She didn't say that they will never cross paths, but she did say this is how we can have these things going on at the same time, and we hope that fans like both. And Grant Gustin, who plays the Flash on the CW series, The Flash, he got a look at the new Flash costume for the movie, and he said he really kind of dug it. I mean, he said it was sick, but I guess that's what kids these days are saying. It's kind of cool.
That's a positive thing,
I think that's a positive thing. So he seems pretty up on it, although a lot of people are not in with the Flash having to wear some kind of armored up suit. If you play the Injustice game, it kind of looks like the suit from the Injustice game.
Yeah. Armory, kind of more armored.
But I mean, I guess you put armor on if you're worried of people shooting bullets at you, but you can run faster than bullets. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know either. That's hard to say. But also, you talking about the usage of the word sick was, it added like 80 years to you just now.
Yeah, there we go. Right.
I think the kids say
I
sick.
I think the kids are saying sick. It's like bad, but good. Anyway. Yeah.
The Wonder Woman footage was fantastic. Yeah. This was the first trailer for Wonder Woman. We also got a poster for Wonder Woman this weekend, and people are just totally blown away by this trailer. I think we watched it here in the house no less than a dozen times.
Yeah.
And if you've got, you know, it's up on Apple TV, it's up on YouTube. So if you can put that up on your big screen and watch it that way, It's fantastic.
That is where I'm pinning my hopes on the DC side. I am pinning my hopes on that thing because it looks like a very different Vision than where she was used in Batman vs. Superman. It looks really, really, really good. It's a period piece, which a lot of people didn't expect.
Yeah.
We knew that, but I think, you know, average people are like, oh, it's right. going to be modern day, whatever. But no, it's like World War One business, biplanes, Chris, what's his name's in it again? Kirk there.
Chris Pine.
Chris Pine's in everything lately. By the way, it's so funny because I saw Star Trek, got home, watched that trailer, got more Chris Pine, watched the trailer for that new bank robbery looking thing coming out with him and the guy that played Medivh. Can't think of his name all of a sudden. Played Angel
In the X-Men movie.
I can't think of his name. I love him, and I can't think of his name.
Frost? No. Why am I thinking...
Ben Foster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Him and Ben Foster running around robbing banks. I can't seem to avoid Chris Pine at the moment. He's freaking everywhere.
Yeah.
But anyway, that looked really, really good. And it looks like it's fun and has some humor and it has some color to it.
Yeah.
And her suit or her costume actually looks like it might be red.
Yeah. Red and blue.
Not
gold lasso.
Not, you know.
Oh, yeah. The lasso looks so much better here even than it did in. Batman v Superman.
Yeah, it just looks great. It has the right tone for me. Everything about it looked awesome, and I'm beyond stoked.
I can't believe there's no jet.
Although they did unveil at Comic-Con, they did unveil an invisible jet at the DC booth on Wednesday night, which was preview night.
Nobody can see it.
There's a toy that's out, I believe, from Mattel, I want to say right now, that's like a vacuum-formed invisible jet where you see some of the struts are visible, but the thing is just a big plastic. Clear plastic. Yeah. And so they unveiled kind of like a life-size version of that at the booth at Comic-Con. And I don't know because I didn't see anybody inside of it, but it was almost like you could climb inside and get your picture taken.
Oh, that would be so jet. Cool.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I haven't seen any pictures of, I mean, I've seen a lot of pictures of the jet. It's out there if people want to look. But I haven't seen anybody pose inside the jet. So I don't know what it was there for besides just maybe promoting a toy and the upcoming movie, which we still have to wait a year for.
Yeah, it's a ways off. But it looked like real progress. I think it looks awesome. And by the way, I was really hoping you were going to say they unveiled an invisible jet and just said, oh, right here, it's right here, everybody.
It would have been nice. Now, the Smithsonian did that last year for April Fool's. They actually put up a little placard in the Air and Space Museum that said, here's the invisible jet on display for one day only.
And they have a big empty space.
And that was a big empty space.
Clever. I love that. You're going to love the cloaking technology in this new Star Trek movie. I just want to throw that out. That was rad, I thought. Mm. Didn't you think, Brian, the little light bender things? Oh,
yes, so totally.
Cool. So cool.
Not to keep everything here on DC. We'll come back to that in just a moment. But I did want to touch on the big question that everyone has been asking. Who is Peter Quill's father? Has been revealed that it is Kurt Russell, who will be playing, are you ready for this? Ego the Living Planet.
Oh, my
Lord. Oh, wow. Really?
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know how that works. I don't know how Ego can take a human form or a bipedal form. But they also revealed the costume that Kurt Russell would be wearing. They showed a lot of footage from the movie. Surprise, Sylvester Stallone is also in the movie. I don't think he's going to be screaming he is the law, hopefully.
So I'm looking at Ego the Living Planet. And it's like a big purple head.
It is a living planet.
Yeah. How is this possible?
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
Comics.
Right? Now, I guess in the... I have a theory, too, about this. And we'll see if it plays out in the movie. But in one of the alternate Marvel universes, one of the Infinity Gems is the Ego Gem, which I'm guessing is somehow based off of all of this. And if that's the case, that may explain why Peter Quill was able to grab a hold of the gem in the last Guardians of the Galaxy movie and not blow himself up.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
That's just a theory and
theory. I thought it was just going to straight up be from the comic I read. He was just his dad, and he was just kind of a dick.
Yeah, I don't know. They revealed him as Ego the Living Planet. So
all right.
There you go. Figure that out.
Are they going to put his face on like a big planet?
I bet he's going to be somehow an embodiment somehow.
Yeah, they'll represent him as a human being.
I kind of want him to do a big planet face.
A big old Kurt Russell hairy mustache.
Like, beard. Lean right into it, man. Lean in.
Craters and...
I love it.
Right.
Look, the Guardians is the place where you get to be a little weird. So I think be a little weird.
The footage that they showed apparently had everybody going insane at the Hall H, especially because this is taking place just literally a couple of months after the last movie. So Groot is still a baby Groot. And Yondu, or Yondo, Yondu has his giant quill back on top, Brian. So you'll be happy that it's not buzz cut. He does have the big fin.
Oh, oh good. Oh, interesting. The comic fin.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Is it still, what's his name? Merle?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I just watched him on the Mythbusters the other day on a rerun.
You guys were talking about the Killing Joke. Let's flip back over to this real quick before we have to end.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of controversy about this film, okay? It does come out in the theater today or tomorrow, I forget which. It'll be available on iTunes as a digital download if people want to check it out. This is an adaptation of The Killing Joke by Alan Moore from a long time ago, from back in the 80s.
Yep.
This is the one where they did, in the comic book, the Joker shoots Barbara Gordon in the spine, crippling her, and depending on how you read the comic and interpret what goes on off panel, the Joker also rapes her after he shoots her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That was the implication of the comic for sure.
Yeah. So you've got that going on in this and you're going to adapt it to a movie.
Interesting.
A lot of controversy this weekend because not only did fans at San Diego get to see the movie, but there was a little clip that popped up. I forget where on somebody's Twitter. It is legitimate. There is a scene where Batman and Batgirl have sex.
Whoa.
Really?
Yeah. Wait, his good buddy, Commissioner Gordon's daughter?
Yes. Which changes the whole dynamic of Barbara Gordon as a character in the film, according to everyone who is currently all up in arms about this. So you might want to go into this, if you're really interested in seeing this adaptation, go into it with a lot of warnings in place that, number one, this is an R-rated animated movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not for kids.
Yeah.
But if you're wanting to have some other misconceptions or thoughts or whatever twisted around, it's going to happen in this movie.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
That being said, if you watch Batman Beyond, the animated series, there is an implication in that series that Commissioner Gordon, who is Barbara Gordon older, and Bruce Wayne had a love affair at some point in the past.
Yeah, they do. They do allude to it.
There is also a bit in, I think, one of the nightmare sequence episodes that Batman has or Gordon has, where Batman and Barbara are also involved.
Wow, we're dishing like girls in a locker room here.
Yeah, this is it's gonna be
and
people
Edward
who are just Nigna like
said that he saw so and so.
So if Perez people are, Hilton. Yeah.
If people, I mean, you can go and just do a search. I mean, we did put it up on Major Spoilers. If you go into the, I forget which panel it is, which story it is, but I did embed the tweet where you can see Batman and Barbara making out. She's on top of him. She rips off her shirt and then goes out of frame.
You know what? I want to watch The Notebook with you or something. I just want to.
I don't want to watch it with him. I just want him to narrate it.
Yeah, I want Steven to be my narrator for all dishy things from now on. Wow. So, yeah.
Penguin said he saw them totally snogging behind the giant penny.
It was sick, man.
Totally sick. All right. Well, I want to see it, and I'm very anxious to see it, and I want to like it because I think The Killing Joke's really pretty brilliant. But it's also super dark. It is,
and there's just on the outside of it, there's a lot of controversy around it because in the discussion of, and this is history, in the discussion of what they were going to do with Barbara Gordon, the editor at the time wrote back to Alan Moore, "Cripple the Bee," in an email back or a letter back to Alan Moore on how to deal with this.
Oh, that's a lovely sentiment there.
Yeah. And that also puts a lot of bad taste in people's mouths about this, but
plus Alan Moore's a jerk and it's like, you know, everyone sucks. Like it's one of those things where it's this like really brilliant piece of work, but it has all this kind of weird surrounding fluff that is not so pleasant.
Right.
And I don't know. I need to see it just from a critical point of view.
And I want to see how it's handled, too, because in the Suicide Squad animated movie that they had not too long ago, Harley Quinn and Deadshot have almost the identical scene in the movie there, too. So I guess it just depends on how it's handled, both from a character's perspective and a story perspective.
Yeah.
If this is done well, do you think we see like an Identity Crisis movie? Because, I mean, you know, Dr. Light gets pretty... No pun intended, but it gets pretty dark in there too.
Yeah, it does. And also the fact of who the killer is also becomes a a big to-do. I could see that coming out, but we do know that the next three movies that they are doing are Teen Titans, The Judas Contract. That was announced.
Oh,
that comes out.
Oh, really?
Ooh. That was one that was pushed onto the back burner, and they thought it was canceled, but they are bringing it back in the spring.
That's cool.
We're also getting a standalone Batman Harley Quinn original story, not based on anything else. And I'm trying to remember what the other one was.
I heard something too about something else, and I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, I think that was announced on Friday night. I think that was before the Saturday stuff. So
yeah, it kicks up dirt because their animated work has oft been, you know, the top of the crown. Like nobody's as good at this stuff. Marvel constantly lagging behind, which is super weird given where they're at today.
How good they are at the other.
The third animated movie is Justice League Dark. It's not the one based on the Guillermo del Toro concept, but it will be following the magic side of the DC universe.
Nice. Well, we need more of that, I suppose.
Yep. It's all over at Major Spoilers. Go check it out.
Yeah. Tons of coverage over there, you guys. You can go catch up on all of it and more. Anything else people should be looking for this week from you guys?
We'll have a podcast tomorrow night where we will kind of summarize our top stories from this. Some of the comic book stories. I know this has been more media related, film and television related, but we'll talk more about some of the comic book stories that were there. If Ashley is back from the convention, we'll talk about the things that she was doing there at the convention as well as what she was doing with her publisher. So we'll talk about that on the next Major Spoilers podcast.
Somebody, just as a side note, from an artist alley sort of point of view, somebody asked Scott Kurtz yesterday, hey, since I'm not at Comic-Con this year, what is the best way to feel like you're there? And Kurtz's reply was, take $3,000 in cash, put it in the toilet and flush it.
Yeah.
So that's about where he's at.
Yeah.
Wow.
There was a story, it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago, that said for San Diego Comic-Con, all the attendees, and I'm guessing this is also the cost of the studios and whatever to fly people down, spend like $80 million on the San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is what it is, and it's evolved away from creators and more in the way of, you know, Hall H'ers, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. Let it be whatever it's going to be, but you can't blame these guys for pulling out, you know? I wouldn't want to do it either. Yeah. It seems ridiculous. It's just that crazy hubbub. You don't really make any money. You lose money, and you do it just so you can say you were there. It's just weird.
Mm-hmm. I did see a lot of people on the hashtag SDCC tag on Twitter did say that this was their last year at the show, too.
Yeah, getting a lot of that from it. I wonder if that one guy will for real not be there.
I'm sure he complained a lot. He was there. Mile High Comics was there again, but he was complaining on Wednesday night or something like that he was still waiting for them to deliver all of his stuff to his booth.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And,
really?
And he said something like, hey, you figure you're paying $16,000 for a booth. You'd think that they'd treat me a little better than this.
Yeah. He's going to always say he's not coming back, but he'll always come back probably.
Right.
That's not Chuck Rozanski, is it?
It's whoever is in charge of Mile High. I forget what his name is.
Might be Chuck Rozanski.
It might be.
Sounds familiar.
It's a great name. He should be playing forward for the San Diego Flyers. That's not a team. It meant Philadelphia Flyers. No, wait. Who plays? Who's the hockey team? Flyers. Yeah, Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
I got it right. It's all flipping around in my head. Hey, well, Steven, it's always a pleasure. Major Spoilers on Twitter, majorspoilers.com. Y'all should be following that, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys. Bye.
Thanks, man.
See you.
See you later. Can't hang up on
talk to you next week. All right, thanks, guys.
Okay. I think you turned the stream back on. We have very little lag on the Diamond Club video stream is amazing. It's like no lag at all.
Like Diamond Group.
So seven seconds or something. All right, we're going to call Veronica Ann Belmont.
All right. Okay.
We have some news today.
Some video game news.
Yeah.
Is there really news?
Yeah, there might be some news. Oh. Might be might be some news. Let's say that. We'll get to that here in a second. Right now. Ladies and gentlemen, it is with a heavy heart that I accept Veronica's resignation as a TMS contributor because she's got a rad new gig that means that Monday mornings are no longer an option. And I'm so sad about this, but also
I'm
really
happy for
excited
her
for
and
you.
Sad for us.
Yeah. I'm super jazzed for you, though.
Thanks.
Yeah. It's going to be really cool what you're doing. I only know bits and pieces from, you know, conversation with Tom and others, but I'm very excited about whatever the future may hold. And when you are a multi-billionaire person, just remember the little people in your lives who were here having you say dumb things about video games on Monday.
Wait, who?
Yeah, see, she's already forgotten.
She's already forgotten. That's too bad. But we
wanted. I know, I'm sad, but I'm also happy and excited too. I can't talk about it yet. Yeah. It's not a huge deal.
It's not. It's a cool job. From like literally. I know nothing except it sounds like something you're into, like really into. And that's
it
enough.
It is. Oh, I think it's safe to say that I'm working for a bot company.
Ah, there you go. Working for the bots, yo.
Working for the bots.
And yeah. That's something I know that you've talked about and loved for a long time, and it seems perfect, and I'm really excited for you. So as sad as we are that this is the last time we're doing this, you know, wind at your back there, Veronica Belmont.
Thank you.
It's going to be great. So before we end it all, let's do one more week of, you know, video game news of interest. What's going on? What's happening?
Well, I had a really hard time like finding a story that wasn't Pokemon related. Yeah. It seems to be the only thing that any of the blogs are writing about right now.
It's apparently the only video game that exists currently.
Who knew, right? Yeah. I found it particularly funny that once the Nintendo investors figured out that Pokemon wasn't actually like wholly owned by Nintendo, their stock price stock like plummeted. Tanked again.
Yeah. That was a real bummer. I guess the stock market by its nature is volatile and weird, but it just seems like you'd have that information before you'd skyrocket their stock.
Right?
Like, really weird.
I know. Yeah. So that's not the story, though. I was curious if you had tried or played Headlander yet.
No, I saw this somewhere, Steam maybe.
Yeah.
And wondered what the hell that is. Can you explain what it is?
Sure. It's a new Double Fine game, and it looks pretty fun. It's kind of like a Metroidvania-style game. You play as these characters that are heads, and you're in space.
Okay.
And your heads are detachable, and you can switch bodies. And so your head can kind of float around and do certain things. It's a lot faster when your head is floating around by itself. But you can't do any attacks or open doors and things like that when you're not in a robot body. Robot body. Robot. I know you guys get real mad if I don't say robot.
No, it's fine. It's good. One last time before you go on Mondays, we get to hear you say robot.
Oh, thanks, by the way, for the sausage birthday wishes from everybody.
Yeah. Oh, I was wondering if that made an impact, if you'd noticed.
It did.
Okay.
Right. It did.
We'd never heard, so we thought, did it work? And then apparently it worked.
Yeah, right. I think you would have just had to have looked at my replies on my birthday on the 21st to see that it worked.
That's awesome. I'm glad it worked out in our favor.
You.
Yeah.
So yeah, this looks fun. It's kind of like according to IGN, I watched their video review of the game, and it looks a little like 70s style Bioshocky. Very bright colors, very fun, very kind of trippy. In typical Double Fine fashion.
Yeah.
And the voice acting is also apparently really great.
Looking at some screenshots here, this is really nice looking.
It looks pretty, right?
Yeah.
Looks
Guardians of the Galaxy-esque with like the lights and the neon and, you know, outer space as a Vegas casino, basically.
Oh, it's so weird with these heads flying around. It's so weird looking.
Yeah.
I know. It looks fun. And it kind of... It kind of reminds me of Futurama, like just because of the heads.
Yeah, right. I want a Richard Nixon head.
The only difference is that they can't talk because they're not connected to any lungs, I guess. I feel like if you have the technology to keep a severed head in a spacesuit, that maybe you could also enable it to speak.
Yeah.
Right. That's just me, though.
I'm super into this idea. I want to play this game. So this is out now? Get it now.
Let's see. Is it out now? I don't know. Whatever.
Review on GameSpot gives it an 8, called it great. Says
you can get it right now for 20% off.
Yeah.
Release date July 26th, so tomorrow. But you can pre-purchase it and get 20% off currently by going to Steam right now.
This is great. I didn't even know it was being worked on.
For $4 more, you can get the soundtrack too.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah. I bet that's great. Double Fine always does a great job with their music.
Yeah. They're awesome. Well,
I miss Brutal Legend. Wasn't Brutal Legend fun?
Brutal Legend was unappreciated at the time. Underappreciated, I should say. But in retrospect, what a cool game that was.
Like, it was super cool.
Yeah, it was really good. It also represented a time for them where it was kind of make or break in a way. It was like it needed to make a bigger mainstream splash than I think it ended up doing. And I think it was like the beginning of what would be Double Fine sort of splitting off, not working for other publishers, doing their own thing, coming up with their own ideas, you know, this their landmark Kickstarter and all that. It feels like that was a turning point for them.
I think so.
And it's on Steam now for pretty cheap and absolutely worth playing. Even if you don't like Jack Black, that is an amazing game.
Oh, he's so good in it, though. The voice acting is so tremendous. And he's there's amazing. So many great, like, rock gods in that game, too, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of, like, you know, surprise guests.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. If you're, like, a metalhead at all, that game is for you, man.
Yeah, totally. It's super fun.
Yeah, it's really good. So go check it out. It's called Headlanders.
Just Lander.
Headlander.
Headlander.
Headlander with a nice Atari-style logo.
It's pretty great.
You can get it for $15.99 on Steam today.
That's not bad.
But in the meantime, I was I could not play. I could technically play Pokemon in Italy and Greece, but I couldn't because it sucks data so bad.
Oh, like,
my data plan would not. Yeah, it was bad.
Want to use roaming minutes to download maps?
Oh, God. Oh, so bad. Yeah, right. So, well, but I got a couple.
Yeah, well, good.
Did they have different names in Rome?
Yeah, it's like the Popesaur or something like
Pokemon,
that.
Pokemon.
Pokemon, perfect.
Pokemon Go, that's amazing. well, good. I forgot to even say, I'm sure that was great over there. It looked like you had lots of nice pictures and, you know, followed your...
pizza every day. And then we came back and I had pizza last night for dinner.
Yes!
To compare.
Yeah. And, right. And I'm guessing the real stuff's better, right?
It was. Okay. It was. I mean, just the sorry, I'm taking up your time, but I like chatting with you.
This is good. This is our last chance.
Time, so yeah. I don't give a crap.
Make the most of it, yeah.
It was like the lowest, like the just the kind of like the small family owned, like, you know, halfway decent places in Italy, just in Rome especially, just blow any Italian restaurant in the States out of the water. It's just like the availability of good ingredients.
Yeah.
My favorite dish the whole time was just these tomatoes sliced in half, these little tomatoes with a little bit of salt and olive oil with a big ball of mozzarella di bufala. And just like, that was it. Like, I could have just eaten that every single day.
That
and it was
really
so
good.
Perfect and simple.
Yeah. You're telling me that the endless breadsticks and salad bar at
Zuppa Toscana.
Yeah, you're telling me that doesn't hold up. In...
A Buca di Beppo.
All right. Well, next time next time I go to, I don't know, Olive Garden, I will treat what I eat as a bowl of dirt with some water. And
you should.
Because
you should be sad that you didn't have the life experience I had.
Exactly.
Okay?
You know real food. Yourself. That's right. You're not a hipster at all. You're just really into this stuff.
I understand real food now.
Wow.
Well, have fun at the new gig. May bots forever be a part of our lives in ways that will soon come to light. And we're going to miss you here, but we're really glad that you were able to do this on Mondays for so long.
Thank you guys. And thanks to all you guys who listen out there. And I'll still be on Twitter.
Yeah.
So.
She's around. She's got the DTNS gig still. And, you know, we'll see her. And occasionally we pull her in here for something special. Who knows? But for now, fair travels to Veronica Ann Belmont, Destroyer of Worlds.
Bye, guys.
Bye now.
See ya.
All right. Aww. Yeah, I didn't want to tell you yet because I wanted it to be sad in the moment.
You wanted to get my reaction on camera, which was,
I know you were like, oh, no.
Oh.
What are we going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to end this program, and we're going to end it in style by telling people that they can check us out on patreon.com/TMS because that's a place to go. Oh, hey, I got some good news. Thursday, we'll have a special guest before Wendy, guests, I should say. We will have Brian Huff and Seven on. They are my co-hosts for this new Bleacher Report deal.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, Rally cool. Point. They're going to come on. We're going to chat with those guys, talk about what that show is going to be about. Starts in August, and we're getting ramped up and excited. So come on back for that. Thank you, Turner. Thank you, Ted Turner, really. He's the guy to thank. Cause...
He colorized your podcast and made it a new thing.
That's right. They married Barbarella, so it's all good.
That's right, yes, and divorced, I think.
Yeah, right? And they're not together now.
Yeah, they're not together anymore.
Did they have kids together? They did, right?
Little Turners?
Yeah, Little Turners.
So.
All right, Little Timmy Turners. Patreon.com/TMS is where you can support us. Thank you to everyone who does. This show streamed every day at alphageekradio.com, as well as diamondclub.tv. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. You can find all our contact details there. Follow us on Twitter, Coverville, Scott Johnson, and Morning Stream. Let's go. Tomorrow's Tuesday. I don't know what's going on with Justin. He's in. He's at the Democratic National Convention tomorrow.
Right, he's going to be DNC. Is he dressing as a Bulbasaur for this one?
He says he's not doing anything but sock puppets. And I said, if it's not Red Hot Chili Pepper style, no sale.
Oh no.
Yeah.
No, I don't think we want to see that.
I don't, probably not. He's hairy with his nothing on. So
yeah, let's we'll leave that with he and Ashley for their eyes only.
Indeed. So we'll see how that goes. I think he's there now. But we'll find out tomorrow.
Yeah, should be, yeah.
Hopefully we'll get on the floor a little update. I don't know what it means for Hotline Monday today. It may mean no, I don't know what it means. We'll figure it out.
How are you going to talk about the track?
I know. I had to do it all with you. What a miserable state of affairs.
The track.
All right, let's get out of here. You got music? What do you got?
I do. This is going out to Jessica, who says, Konnichiwa, Tsukato and Burayan. My husband Jay and I are taking our very first adventure overseas together, and we're going to Japan. To celebrate this momentous occasion, I would greatly appreciate it if you could play any cover of Turning Japanese or any cover of your choice. I trust the great master of covers by a J-pop or J-rock band. July 25th is a special anniversary for us, 7 years together, and I can't wait to share the awesome experience that is Japan with my best friend by my side. I love you, Jay, and look forward to more of life's adventures with you. Signed, Jessica. Mm. Oh, you guys are going to have such a blast. That I'm envious.
Yeah.
I'd love to go back. All right, so I decided to forego the Turning Japanese cover and focus on the J-pop cover because I have to. And somebody in the chat room guessed Liz Phair. Yeah, Liz Phair does an amazing cover of Turning Japanese, but I'm not playing it. I'm playing something else. This comes from a tribute to Radiohead that I picked up last year when I was in Japan called Helping Hand Tribute to Radiohead. And it's a band called Loof, L-O-O-F, and a great cover of Karma Police. You'll even hear some English underground train audio, I believe, in the beginning of this track. I don't know why they didn't use the Japanese subway system audio, because I think that would be even cooler. But whatever. Hey, it's Karma Police by Loof, originally by Radiohead.
All right, here it is. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Come on back.
Yes.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Damn, I've been waiting to do that. Blech.